InshaAllah, there'll be a brief lesson of hadith for those who request to participate. InshaAllah, mukhtasar darsa hadith hoga, sati shirkat farmaye. InshaAllah, fayda hoga. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله المحترم the sound's gone very low or is it just me if I keep it from here is okay محترم بھائیو دوستو بزرگو respected brothers, elders and friends. Riyadu Salihin, the chapter Babu Fadlil Ju'i wa Khushunatil Aishi wal Iqtisari ala al Qalil min al Ma'kul. Is bab ke andar Imam Nabawi rahmatullahi alayhi bhooka rehna aur zindagi mein khas taur pe zindagi ki cheezon mein qalil cheez istemal karna کم پہ جو ہے اکتفا کرنا تو اس سلسلے کے متعلق امام نووی رحمت اللہ علیہ نے باب باندھا ہے So this hadith inshallah very lengthy hadith I'll go through it inshallah and I'll explain it as I go through it وعن جابر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ قال انا کنا یوم الخندق نحفر فعرضت کدیۃ شدیدۃ فجاءوا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالوا هذه كدية عرضت في الخندق فقال أنا نازل ثم قام وبطنه معصوب بحجر ولبثنا ثلاثة أيام لا نذوق ذواقا فأخذ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المعول فضرب فعاد كثيبا أهيل أو أهيم سيدنا جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates that on the day of خندق Khandaq means the trench. So on the day of the battle of the trenches. So not the day, but on the day that the trenches were being dug in preparation for the battle of the trenches. He says that we were digging, فَعَرَضَتْ كُدْيَةٌ شَدِيدَةٌ All of a sudden, a very big rock or boulder came in front of us. So what happened when they were digging the trench on the battle of Khandaq? Because it was a huge trench that they had to dig. It was going to go from one mountain on one side of Medina to the other mountain. The entire area had to be covered by this trench. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allocated groups of Sahaba to 40 dhira'as, 40 cubits of space, area, that this is, your team is tasked with digging this area, your team is tasked with digging this area. It's mentioned in a hadith, although the hadith itself is a little bit weaker, but we find extra details. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allocated teams of 9, 10, 11 Sahaba, depending on the size of the Sahaba, the capabilities of the Sahaba. So 40 cubits. So each team was allocated this area. So Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, and a few other Sahaba were allocated a certain area, and they were digging in that area. And they came across a big boulder which was on the barrier between their area and the next area. So everybody was kind of unsure how to break through it. A few Sahaba tried striking it, but it just didn't break. Very thick, heavy boulder. So straight away the Sahaba رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين, they thought to themselves, we have to go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will find a solution for us. So Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, on the day of Khandaq, we were digging the trench. فَعَرَضَتْ كُدْيَةٌ شَدِيدَةٌ A huge boulder presented itself in front of us as an obstacle. فَجَاءُوا إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ So the Sahaba رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ They came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and they said, هَذِهِ كُدْيَةٌ Ya Rasulullah, there's a big boulder here, بہت بڑا ایک چٹان. عَرَضَتْ فِي الْخَنْدَقِ Which has presented itself in the ditch. فَقَالَ أَنَا نَازِلٌ Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم automatically said, I am coming down. Subhanallah. So first of all, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's confidence that I will be able to resolve this issue. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bestowed with such natural strength. Now the reason why his strength is never talked about is because he would never ever be demonstrative of his strength. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's humility, tawadu, you know, sometimes you get these, like they say, friendly giant. Although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not huge in appearance, but nobody would ever know how much strength he has because he would never retaliate. He would never attack anyone. This is before Nubuwa. But he always had this strength. And that's why the stories which are famous about him, that the wrestler came to meet him in the bazaar and he took the wrestler down and he said, try one more time. Took him down again. Third, try one more time. And then left him. Because he realized he's such a strong person, but you can't see the strength. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala had blessed him with superhuman strength. So first of all, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's confidence. Secondly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, he does not feel at all that, figure out a way, call these other people, you people go and help. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, straight away, I'm coming. He didn't say, okay, call some more people from that group, they can help you. He said, may khud, I myself, I'm going to come down and help you. ثُمَّ قَامَ وَبَطْنُهُ مَعْصُوبٌ بِحَجَرٍ Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and his belly, there was a huge rock which was a stone which was tied to his belly. Other narrations we find two stones. That the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in had one stone and when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his garment he had two stones. So here it just mentions وَبَطْنُهُ مَعْصُوبٌ بِحَجَرٍ But there's a few variations of this hadith. Even here Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought two variations of this hadith and other places you find other variations of the hadith. But we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's stomach was tied with a stone. The reason for this is because when a person is feeling very, very hungry, your body feels very, very weak and it's very easy to fall down out of hunger. So the reason they would tie a stone to their belly is to give their body that feeling of, you know, awareness that you don't just collapse, you don't just fall down and you can carry on working. And the only reason they would do this is because of extreme hunger. Otherwise, so easy to just collapse. In Ramadan, sometimes, especially the younger people or people who are weak, they can't walk, they can't move around. Your sisters who are expecting and they try fasting, inshallah, Allah reward them, it's very difficult. When they try fasting, they just feel like we're just going to fall down, we're going to collapse. So tying this stone gives your body a sense of awareness. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a big, huge, had a stone which was tied to his belly. So Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu says, وَلَبِثْنَا ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ لَا نَذُوقُ ذَوَاقًا What was the reason for this? Because 3 days had passed, لَا نَذُوقُ ذَوَاقًا ہم نے کسی ایسی چیز کو نہیں چکا جو چکی جا سکتی We had not tasted anything which could be tasted. Meaning we had eaten no type of food. 3 days. So فَأَخَذَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمِعْوَلِ Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, he took the axe or the sledgehammer. فَضَرَبَ And then Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, he struck the rock. فَعَادَ كَثِيبًا أَهْيَل It shattered until it became like small grains of sand. Or like a pile of sand. أو أهيم. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِذَنْ لِي إِلَى الْبَيْتِ In other narrations, it mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first time he struck this huge boulder, Imam Nasai rahmatullahi alayhi brought this narration, that was the first time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck this boulder, a huge light could be seen. Some narrations it mentions that that light totally, you know, it enlightened the whole of Madinatul Munawwara. And they say it was like misbahun fi laylin muzlimatin. Like a lamp which was shining in a pitch dark night. It was so bright, all the inhabitants of Medina Munawwara could see the light. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck the boulder. And then second time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck the boulder. And each time he struck it, he was reciting an ayah of the Qur'an. Each time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck the boulder, he was reciting ayat of the Qur'an, which is escaping my mind now. So he struck it the first time, and then he struck it the second time. And then the first time he struck it, one third of the boulder smashed. And the second time he struck it, another third of the boulder smashed away, shattered into pieces. And the third time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he struck this boulder, it shattered into, obliterated into pieces. So Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, according to Imam Nasa'i rahmatullahi alayhi's narration, Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala asked, Ya Rasulullah, what was this light that appeared when you struck the boulder? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you saw the light. And Sayyidina Salman said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, we all saw the light. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first time I struck the boulder, the palaces of Persia and the surrounding areas of Persia were all shown to me. So the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Rasulullah, and he said, what about the second time? So the second time I struck it, the palaces of Byzantium. Byzantium, the Iraq and all this kind of area, Qaisar. Jazakallah, you're right, our uncle. The palaces of Qaisar were shown to me and the area surrounding that region. So then the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in inquired, Ya Rasulullah, what does this mean? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give my ummah control and authority over all of these places. So this is, other narrations mention this. So Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says, فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِذَنْ لِي إِلَى الْبَيْتِ. I said, O Messenger of Allah, give me permission to go to my house. So Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu is not saying, Ya Rasulullah, I can see you've got a big stone tied to your belly. I know you are hungry. But he asks permission in a way he doesn't make it obvious. Because first of all, he doesn't know if he has food at home, himself. So he doesn't want to say, Ya Rasulullah, let me go and prepare some food for you. He says, give me permission so I can go home. Another thing we can understand from this point is, wherever there's a zimmedar, amir, responsible person, leader, teacher, imam, sheikh, father figure, whoever it might be, those who are subordinates should always ask permission before they leave. Father, mother, parents become so happy. You know, my son, he's a grown man, he's married, he's got children, he still asks permission before he goes for salah. He still asks permission before he leaves the house. There is no, you know, you're not losing your position by asking. You're just giving that honor to that person who deserves that honor. So the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah, please give me permission. Sometimes we teach online, and then online students, because they can't, I can't see them, they can't see me. So sometimes they leave, and I just get very angry. And I give. So because it's online, you people don't understand adab. You've totally lost your understanding of adab. Just because we're online, you think I'm a radio station. They literally do what I use. So you think I'm like a radio, I've heard enough, let me go now. So I've said it so many times, now the students are very careful. See, the problem with having education online is you can't do tarbiyah of the students. But still, you have to, you know, مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ مَرْنَا. So like what you can't do entirely, you still have to try. So I say, we're not a radio station, still think that although I can't, like you don't have wudu, you do tayammum, you still, this is some kind of access to the ilm of nubuwwat. We all have to have ikhlas when we sit here and hope that Allah Ta'ala gives us some kind of reward. But anyway, you're leaving the class, ask permission. You can put a small message there. Some of your sisters, you can't raise your voice. You can put a small message there saying, Ustad, I need to go, I need to put my children to sleep. Or something or the other, something's happened. So at least that way the Ustad doesn't feel in any way, shape or form that this person has disregarded me. They got no importance. So Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he says, I said, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to so I can go to my house. فَقُلْتُ لِمْرَأَتِي. So that I went home and I said to my wife, رَأَيْتُ بِالنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ شَيْئًا مَا فِي ذَلِكَ صَبْرٌ. He says, I've seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a situation, I can't have sabr over this. I can't bear this. So Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in's love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so hungry, I can't bear this. He himself is hungry. All the Sahaba are hungry. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu himself is saying, وَلَبِثْنَا ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ لَا نَذُوقُ ذَوَاقًا. All of us had passed 3 days, none of us had a morsel of food to eat. Yet, he's saying, I've seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a situation, I can't bear it. فَعِنْدَكِ شَيْءٌ. Do you have anything at home? فَقَالَتْ عِنْدِي شَعِيرٌ وَعَنَاقٌ. She says, I have some barley and we have a lamb at home. Anaq is small lamb, less than 1 year old, very small. So فذبحت العناقة, I slaughtered the lamb, وطحنت الشعيرة, and she grinded the barley. So she said, we've got some barley, grains, gandam, and we've got a lamb. So I slaughtered the lamb and she grinded the barley. حتى جعلنا اللحم في البرمة, until we placed the meat of the lamb, we chopped it up and we placed it inside of a pot. Burma is an earthen pot. The Sahaba would use this to cook. And something about earthen pots, subhanAllah, the food tastes so much better in earthen pots. Even tea. I don't know, the other day we were having karak chai somewhere. And they made it in the earthen pots. I don't know, mashallah, yourselves may make it at home. I said to my wife, we have to buy these earthen teapots. SubhanAllah. It's natural. Karak chai, Sasa is probably knowing what I'm talking about. Oh, mashallah. So there's something about the earthen pots, subhanAllah. Inshallah. We have to give it out, inshallah. So, حَتَّى جَعَلْنَا اللَّحْمَ فِي الْبُرْمَةِ, until we place the meat inside of a pot. ثُمَّ جِئْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْعَجِينُ قَدْ انْكَسَرَ وَالْبُرْمَةُ بَيْنَ الْأَثَافِي قَدْ كَادَتْ أَنْ تَنْضَجَ. Then he says that I came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I returned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالْعَجِينُ قَدْ انْكَسَرَ, the barley had been grinded and it was kneaded and it was ready to be made into bread. And the pot in which the meat had been placed had almost been cooked. It was almost ready to be served. فَقُلْتُ, I said, تُعَيِّمٌ لِي, I said, Ya Rasulullah, I've got a little bit of food. Little bit of food. So ishara, very clear indication, Ya Rasulullah, not many people can eat this. تُعَيِّم, اسم التصغير in Arabic, طعام, which means food. تُعَيِّم means very little bit of food, Ya Rasulullah, at home. فَقُمْ أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَرَجُلٌ أَوْ رَجُلًا. Ya Rasulullah, you come and two or three people with you. قَالَ كَمْ هُوَ, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, how much food do you have? So he asked specifically, how much food do you have now? First Sayyidina Jabir saying, I've got a little bit. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, tell me exactly how much you have. فَذَكَرْتُ لَهُ, I mentioned it to him, that this is exactly what we have. One lamb which we've slaughtered and a little bit of barley which we've made into a dough. فَقَالَ كَثِيرٌ طَيِّبٌ, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a lot of food. طَيِّبٌ, very excellent, very good amount. قُلْ لَهَا لَا تَنْزِعِ الْبُرْمَةَ وَلَا الْخُبْزَ مِنَ التَّنُّورِ حَتَّى آتِي. Go and say to your wife, tell your wife, that she should not take the pot off the fire, neither should she take the bread off the cooker, the tannur, until I come. فَقَالَ قُومُوا, all of a sudden Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everybody come, everybody stand up. فَقَامَ الْمُهَاجِرُونَ وَالْأَنصَارُ, all the muhajirun, all the ansar are standing up. SubhanAllah. In the hadith of Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, Salman Farsi, because there were few muhajirun who came from Mecca and there were more of the ansar sahaba. So even in the 40 dhira'as, he says there were only 2-3 muhajirun and there were about 8 ansar, 9 ansar. SubhanAllah, the entirety of Medina and deen was established on the basis of the Ansar, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. How much they gave. Gave everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah himself is from the Ansari Sahaba. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes he would give such, you know, so much muhabba, he would speak to the Ansar. That the people are like my upper garment, and you, O Ansar, are my like my lower garment. You are so close to me. And Allah ta'ala gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his wafat and demise inside of Madinatul Munawwara. So the Ansar took back that glory. So he said, all the muhajirun, all the Ansar, they stood up. فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهَا, he says, I entered my house. فَقُلْتُ, and I said, وَيْحَكِيق, جَاءَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْمُهَاجِرُونَ وَالْأَنصَارُ وَمَنْ مَعَهُمْ. He says, you know, وَيْحَكِيق, it's an expression of shock, that the muhajirun are coming and the Ansar are coming and Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is bringing them. وَمَنْ مَعَهُمْ, and everybody else. قَالَتْ هَلْ سَأَلَكَ, she asked, did he ask you? Did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask you? Meaning about the situation. قُلْتُ نَعَمْ, the next hadith is going to have more detail. قُلْتُ نَعَمْ, I said yes. قَالَ أُدْخُلُوا وَلَا تَضَاغَطُوا, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, enter and do not make a beer, do not make a crowd or a queue at the door. Meaning come in an organized manner. فَجَعَلَ يَكْسِرُ الْخُبْزَ وَيَجْعَلُ عَلَيْهِ اللَّحْمَ, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to break the bread and he started to place the gosht, the meat, on top of the bread. وَيُخَمِّرُ الْبُرْمَةَ, so he was started to give the bread and meat to each of the Sahaba. ويخمر البرمة والتنور. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم covered the meat pot and he covered the bread as well, the place where the bread was being cooked. إذا أخذ منه, when he was taking from it. You know this point, covering. Covering is something, and not looking at the item carries so much barakah. The ulama say, you keep it covered. Don't look at that. When you cover something, it's kind of barakatati. Even Hazrat Mufti Sayyid Ahmad Paranpuri rahmatullahi alayhi mentions about his ustad, Mufti Mahdi Hassan Shah Jahanpuri. He's a great muhaddith of Darul Uloom Deoband. And he says that in Dora Hadith, Murana will know, in Dora Hadith, in the last year, you have to cover the entire kitabs, 6 books of hadith. So towards the end of the year, you're in a rush to try and complete the book. So if anybody was to count the pages, how many pages do you have left? Ustad would get so angry. He'd say, you have ruined our barakah. Say, don't count the pages. As soon as you start counting how many pages do you have left, you'll see it just takes forever to finish. If you don't count it, we'll finish it very quickly. So they had yaqeen in this. And so many other narrations not coming to my mind. Riyadhus Salihin, there's an entire chapter about this. That when Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala has hadith about the dates, and how Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu's hadith about the dates, and how he didn't count them, and he ate them in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu, in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he counted the dates and it stopped. Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions about barley, she had some barley, and she didn't count it in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, she ate it, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu, in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu, she said the bag got lost, so we couldn't find it again. But the point is this, when you don't count something, the barakah comes in. So many other examples, even money. You have a habit of just counting money, it decreases the barakah from it. One thing is hisab. Hisab is something, you have budgeting, knowing how much you have. One thing is constantly having to count. So the more you're counting the money, the more the barakah is decreasing. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had covered the meat, he had covered the roti, and he was giving the meat and the roti without looking underneath the lid, the cover. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يَكْسِرُ وَيَغْرِفُ حَتَّى شَبِعُوا وَبَقِيَ مِنْهُ. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued to break the bread, he continued to dole out the meat until all of the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were full. وَبَقِيَ مِنْهُ, and still the food remained. فَقَالَ كُلِي هَذَا وَهْدِي فَإِنَّ النَّاسَ أَصَابَتْهُمْ مَجَاعَةٌ. متفقن عليه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the wife of Jabir رضي الله تعالى عنه, you also eat from this now, and also give hadiyah from this to other people, because the people have been afflicted by hunger, people are suffering, so give from that. So it was indication that inshallah, if you carry on giving it in this way, there will be plentiful for you and for other people as well. And the next narration is the same hadith, it's just a bit more addition, so we'll quickly read through it. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ قَالَ جَابِرٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ لَمَّا حُفِرَ الْخَنْدَقُ رَأَيْتُ مِنْ نَبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَمَصًا فَانْكَفَأْتُ إِلَى امْرَأَتِي فَقُلْتُ هَلْ عِنْدَكِ شَيْءٌ فَإِنِّي رَأَيْتُ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَمَصًا شَدِيدًا. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that when the ditch was being dug, the trenches, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a state of hunger. Khamas, extreme hunger. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala used the word makhmasa, extreme hunger. When a person is extreme hungry state, even in this case many times, something which is haram because permissible to consume, just to satisfy the craving of hunger, after that, the hurma kicks in again. After that, it becomes impermissible again. Even in the Quran, the example of the khinzir is mentioned. That unless a person is in the state of makhmasa, then in that case, these things become halal. And then after that, as soon as your extreme hunger has dissipated, then it becomes haram once again. So he said, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in extreme hunger. So I went to my wife and I said, do you have anything at home? I have seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in severe hunger. فَأَخْرَجَتْ إِلَيَّ جِرَابًا فِيهِ صَاعٌ مِّن شَعِيرٍ. She took out for me, she brought out for me a small pouch in which there was one sa', it's a measurement, one sa' of barley. وَلَنَا بُهَيْمَةٌ, and we had a small animal, دَاجِنٌ, which had been a tamed animal. فَذَبَحْتُهَا, I slaughtered it. وَطَحَنَتِ الشَّعِيرَ, and she grinded the barley. فَفَرَغَتْ إِلَى فَرَاغِي, she finished as soon as I finished. وَقَطَّعْتُهَا فِي بُرْمَتِهَا, I cut the meat up and I put it inside of her pot. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, then I went to Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, فَقَالَتْ, And she said to me, before I went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my wife said to me, لا تفضحني برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن معه. Said, don't embarrass me in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the people with him. Meaning, don't invite more people than we can feed. This is always the fear of any woman. And it's understandable. She is the person preparing the food. So of course she feels, if you're going to bring too many people, we can't feed them. Before your embarrassment is my embarrassment. People will think you've got a wife who doesn't prepare food. Or automatically, bichari, the wife's mind will go that way. So she's saying to Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, don't embarrass me in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fajituhu, I came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fasarartuhu, I whispered into the ear of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from here we understand, in this majma, I want to tell Marana something private, I can whisper into his ear. The ulama say, you don't do this if there's only two people. You don't whisper into one person's ear, because now definitely the second person is going to think you're saying something about him. But if it's a big majlis, then you can whisper into a person's ear, everybody will understand something private which was to be shared, and only that person was supposed to listen to it. So that's understandable, and we see the sunnah here is absolutely fine. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I whispered to him, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذَبَحْنَا بُهَيْمَةً لَنَا, we've sacrificed, slaughtered this small animal, وَطَحَنَتْ صَاعًا مِّن شَعِيرٍ, my wife has grinded this one صَاع of barley. فَتَعَالَ أَنْتَ وَنَفَرٌ مَعَكَ, Ya Rasulullah, you come and bring a small group of people with you. Nafar is 3 to 9 people. Small group of people. Bring them with you. فَصَاحَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمَ, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم shouted out. He uses the word صَاحَ. چِيخْنَا in Urdu say. The Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم cried out. فَقَالَ, he said, يَا أَهْلَ خَنْدَقْ, O people of the trench. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم raised his voice so loud, everybody in the trench could hear him. He said, إِنَّ جَابِرًا قَدْ صَنَعَ سُؤْرًا, Jabir has prepared a dastarkhan for you. Su'ran is a Farsi word. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi says, Su'ran is a Farsi Persian word. We also understand from this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi in his kitab actually has established a chapter where he mentions that certain words of Farsi are used in Arabic. Certain words are borrowed from different languages. It's not a crime. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Su'ran. Su'ran specifically means, you know, a big meal, a feast. The Jabir has prepared a feast for all of you. فَحَيَّهَلَنْ بِكُمْ, come quickly all of you, come quickly. جَلْدِي آجَوْ. So imagine Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu state. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا تُنْزِلُنَّ بُرْمَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَخْبِزُنَّ عَجِينَكُمْ حَتَّى أَجِي, do not take the pot off the stove and do not start to make the bread make the dough into bread until I come. فجئت وجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقدم الناس, I came, I returned back home, and Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم came with me in front of the people. Normally the practice of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم was to come behind the Sahaba or in the middle of the Sahaba, so you couldn't tell that Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is the Nabi of Allah at the front. He always, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is tawadu, he would never put himself at the front and make everybody walk behind him. But in this case, he made an exception, because he, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم himself, has made himself the host. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, normally it is not permissible for somebody else to say, if a person gives da'wat to 2 people, 3 people, you can't have people who tag along. This happens. I remember when I got married, and then this person, mashallah, he messaged me, what date are you getting married? I said, this date, because yeah, I'll definitely be there. So I thought to myself, I haven't invited you. But shalom, mashallah, he came anyway. Mashallah, Allah ta'ala reward him. I think he was quite close to me, so he thought, I definitely want him there anyway. So the sunnah is, you don't invite yourself. If you are invited, you come. You can't just bring other people with you. However, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is exception. For Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more dear to the Sahaba than themselves. Only Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this authority. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made himself the host as well. So that's why he went at the front of the group of people. حَتَّى جِئْتُمْ رَأَتِي, until I came to my wife. فَقَالَتْ بِكَ وَبِكَ, she said, بِكَ وَبِكَ. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi said, بِكَ وَبِكَ, and the way he explained it, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, أَيْ خَاصَمَتْهُ وَسَبَّتْهُ, she started to argue with him, and she started to get very, very, you know, fiery with Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Like, what have you done? You brought everybody. I told you specifically, don't embarrass me. What have you gone and done? Everybody's going to come. We don't have enough food. What are we going to do? فَقُلْتُ قَدْ فَعَلْتُ الَّذِي قُلْتِ, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu says, I've done exactly what you told me to do. I have no blame. فأخرجت فأخرجت عجينا. She brought out the dough. فبسق فيه نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, placed his blessed saliva inside of it. وبارك, and then نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم made دعاء فبركة. ثم عمد إلى برمتنا فبصق وبارك. Then نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم came towards our pot of meat and he placed his blessed saliva inside of it and he made dua for barakah. ثم قال أدعي خابزة. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call another woman who prepares bread. فلتخبز معك. She should come and she should help you and she should prepare the bread with you. Meaning you're going to need more hands because you've got so many people to feed. وَقْدَحِي مِن بُرْمَتِكُمْ وَلَا تُنْزِلُوهَا. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, start taking out meat from the pot and do not uncover it. So from here we see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was not serving. In the first narration he says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself took the meat out, took the roti out and he served it. In this second narration it shows that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the command. He placed his saliva in it, he said cover it and serve it without looking inside. And this seems to be closer to the reality. Because many of our pious predecessors, our elders, in Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, no, in Tadhkiratul Khalil Murna Ashiq Ilahi Mirati rahmatullahi alayhi mentions about in Saharanpur, Mazahirul Ulum Saharanpur, one of the great madrasas of India, he says that in one of the Bukhari jalsas, annual jalsas, there was a food shortage. And everybody was panicking. And the big jalsas that they would have in the madrasas, thousands of people would come. So everybody was panicking, there's not enough food. So the first person they called was Hazrat Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi. A great scholar, a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, cover the food. Don't uncover it until I come. So he came and he did exactly, precisely this sunnah. He placed his saliva inside of it. He made dua barakah and he said, serve it without looking inside. And this is mentioned by Mawlana Ashiq Ilahi Mirati rahmatullahi alayhi in his Tadhkiratul Khalil. He says, the food was served, everybody was fed, and that same amount of food was left over. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, but the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have their karamat, their miracles. So this seems closer to the reality. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, udu'i khabizatan, call a person, another person, a woman to make bread with you. She should make bread with you and, you know, continue to dole out food from the pot. Wala tunziluha, do not take it off the stove. Meaning let it continue to boil and cook. وَهُمْ أَلْفٌ. In this hadith he mentions Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu says they were 1,000 people. So obviously they were coming in turns. One group would come, they would eat, they would go. Another group would come, they would eat, they would go. فَأُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu says, I swear by Allah, I take a qasam by Allah, لَأَكَلُوا حَتَّى تَرَكُوهُ وَانْحَرَفُوا. They all ate and they left and they went. وَإِنَّ بُرْمَتَنَا لَتَغِطُّ كَمَا هِيَ. Our pot which had meat inside was still boiling the way it was at the start. Meaning it had the same amount of food that it had at the start. You know, when our women folk cook the curry and at this, you know, when all the meat is there, all the potatoes, everything can be seen and still boiling. That's exactly how it looked. وَإِنَّ عَجِينَنَا لَيُخْبَزُ كَمَا هُوَ. And our bread, the dough was still being, you know, was still left over exactly the way it was at the start. Then it did not even seem that anybody had eaten anything from it. So subhanAllah, this was of course a mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at the same time, Imam Nawawi, the reason for Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi bringing it here is to show the hunger that the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in went through. And one of the scholars he mentions, he says that hunger was a shi'ar, a trait of all of the pious people. He says, in the bazaar, in the marketplace, if hunger was being sold, and if, you know, to be satiated and to be full-bellied was to be sold, the pious people would all purchase hunger. Because they knew that all the ajr, all the reward, the best of the akhirah is in hunger. And then he gives the example, he says, look at this situation. If having a full belly, having all the nice things to eat, was a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was something which was a desirable thing at this moment in time, or if this was the help of Allah ta'ala at this moment in time, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of people after the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are all there and they are all going through intense hunger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them in that state because through hunger their akhirah was made. So hunger having less of the dunya. At the same time, he says, and in, if you were to draw a comparison between what was happening in Persia and in Rome and in the empires of the world, the kings of that time, the worst of people on the surface of the earth, their actions, their characteristics, their everything was so far away from hidayat and guidance, but they were all full-bellied and they were eating so much and they were throwing food in the bin. But if one looked at it from outside, say, well, these people have all the food, these people don't have any food. So if your understanding of hidayah, guidance from Allah Ta'ala is based on who is eating how much, then you'll be looking at that way. But if you understand that tests and hardships and difficulties, Allah Ta'ala is going to give them to the believers in this dunya. And you know, all of the pious people in whose biographies, all of the pious people who you hear of, who have amazing, their a'mal, their piety, their maqam in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single one of their biography has hardship, 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 hardship. A little recent, Dr. Tanveer Ahmed Khan Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a Khalifa of Masihullah Khan Sahib. My Ustad Mufti Farooq Sahib used to say, Masihullah Khan Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, had two khulafa, two main khulafa. Haji Farooq Sahib, Shafiqul Ummat Haji Farooq Sahib, and he had Dr. Tanveer Ahmed Khan Sahib. Haji Farooq Sahib, Allah Ta'ala gave him that qabooliyat, that acceptance. SubhanAllah, he went throughout the world, South Africa, everywhere else. He had lots and lots of khulafa and lots of spiritual students. Dr. Tanveer Ahmed Khan Sahib was very hidden. And Mufti Farooq Sahib says, when we used to be small students in front of our Masihullah Khan Sahib, Haji Farooq Sahib would sit there, you know, so much adab. And you know, mashallah, embodiment of piety. And Dr. Tanveer Ahmed Khan Sahib would just be relaxing, very jokey, always, even he'd be making Hazrat laugh all the time. And he'd just be, you know, picking on this student, picking on that student. You would not in any way, shape or form think he's some buzurg. You wouldn't think he's a pious person. You know, inshallah, we're going to go on a different tangent. One of our classmates was bi'at to him. And some of the things that he would say, I think, subhanAllah. You know, sometimes the pious people are so busy hiding their level, hiding their level, I don't want people to know what Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with. Mufti Mahmud al-Hasan Gangohi, rahmatullah, he was like this. They would say, he was such a joking person. Mufti Nizamuddin, rahmatullah, Ali, who was one of the grand muftis of Darul Deoband at that time. So they made Mufti Mahmud al-Hasan Gangohi the grand mufti. Mufti Mahmud al-Hasan Sahib said to Mufti Nizamuddin, either you become the grand mufti or I'm leaving. You have to be the grand mufti, I'll be your assistant. So as long as they were alive, Hazrat Mufti Nizamuddin Sahib was alive, Mufti Mahmud Sahib was the assistant mufti. He did not want to ever take that center stage. Mufti Nizamuddin Sahib said, you people look at Mufti Mahmud al-Hasan Gangohi and you think he's some ordinary person. He does it all on purpose. All this joking, all this laughing, all this, you know, this relaxed way that he is on purpose. He does not want you to know his reality. If you see him alone in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when you will know what type of person this person is. Where was I going from? Forgotten which point I went from. Chalo, I think we'll make a stop inshallah. We'll carry on next week. Allah ta'ala give us the beauty and the understanding of this hadith. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Thank you.